All right, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Bruce?
Present.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item is the consent agenda. Anything that you want removed for discussion or a motion to?
Good. I would move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Next item is public hearings. We have the fiscal year 2023 budget hearing and ordinance 2022-24. Jared Empey.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. Tonight before you, I have the budget hearing for the next fiscal year that's coming up. So this is no different than what you saw with the tentative budget that you approved, I believe it was last month in the second meeting in July. As a reminder, all the detail is in the packet for what makes up all the line items. As a reminder, as within this, we have each fund broken out. We have general fund, grant fund, latecomers fund, which is our reimbursement fund, capital projects fund, we have park impact fee fund, lease impact fee fund, and our proprietary funds, which are made up of water, sewer, irrigation, and solid basically our trash fund. And as part of this, we try to always maintain fiscal solvency and to make sure that we are meeting our obligations. And as we've discussed in the past, despite some recent inflationary pressures, I think that we're meeting those obligations and also staying basically making it so that we're doing right by our customers and by the taxpayers. And as part of this also, within the property taxes portion, we are suggesting to take the 3% and new construction as part of the property tax levy. I believe that in our prior budget workshops and discussions, we kind of already went over everything. However, if you have any additional questions, I'm open for any discussion.
Okay, questions for Jared?
No, sir.
All right, this is a public hearing, so we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. I have one person. Is there anybody who didn't get a chance to sign in that wishes to sign in to testify? Okay. I have one person signed in, Dave Splatt. If you would like to take the podium, just push the button to where the base of the button there, and the green light will come on. Yeah. Green light? Yeah, good.
Are you ready?
You
did
may
this
have
nice
the floor.
Lady starter timer?
Nope.
Oh, last time you did it the other way. I didn't know. Thank you. My name's Dave Splatt. I live at 970 Ashwood Court in CUNA, obviously. I don't have a complaint about your budget, but I got several warnings for you or alerts. Take what you want. The big one, I guess there's about six big ones. I'll go through them quickly. The biggest one is your categories, from what I can read, are so general that it's hard to tell what you're doing. If you remember, that's one of the things that got Dean Obrey in trouble. Of course, none of you remember because none of you helped me. For example, my pet peeve, as the mayor well knows, is parking on the sidewalks. When before my dear wife died, she'd get stuck in her mobility scooter on the sidewalks because your fine officers allow people to park on the sidewalks. And when you have a category called sidewalk, you don't know whether you're going to help us by getting us up and down Swan Falls Road, or you're going to help us get up and down Avalon, or you're going to spend it making the downtown look cute. That's a big deal to me. Okay, the warnings are, the alerts, I guess. First is that my other clients all have examined three different ways of mitigating the property tax impact due to the revaluation. And I don't know, and no one in the room probably knows, if you folks examine any of those three, perhaps when you're giving me a little speech at the end, you could summarize for us. The second thing is, I forget. The six warnings are that you're going to have to need a big increase in the mayor's discretionary budget, because I think you've got six other agencies on your case. For example, the Department of the Interior knows that the people have building permits in their Department of Interior right away. I don't know where they're going to go. ACHD knows that some people have not paid their ACHD impact fees. The fire department knows that some people are occupying buildings that have not been reviewed or approved. I can't think of, there's so many of these things. Oh, the fire department. I just said the fire department. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of these little things that I think you guys and ladies didn't fully examine, or it's not obvious, I should say, to the taxpayer when we read your budget. And I think there's going to be some huge cost. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Then once again, was there anybody else who wished to testify?
I had something to ask you. I kid.
Okay. Well, Jared, you've done a great job. I appreciate the process and the way that you lay this out. It makes it pretty easy and clear and concise. And I think most of the detail I think some of the stuff he was talking about, you can see in our monthly packets where we list everything that we spend money on, who gets checks, and those that are divided among different departments, then that breakout also. So I don't know what we can do any better to make that any more clear, but if there was something, we would certainly be happy to do that. But at any rate.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Well, I guess if there's nothing further, I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Is there any opposed? And I think I'll just read the ordinance just for the record. An ordinance entitled the Annual Appropriation Ordinance for the fiscal year beginning October 1, 2022 and ending September 30, 2023, providing for findings, providing for the adoption of a budget and the appropriation of expenditure of sums of money to defray the necessary expenses and liabilities of the city of CUNA in accordance with object and purposes in the certain amounts herein specified for the fiscal year beginning October 1, 2022 and ending on September 30, 2023, authorizing a levy of sufficient tax upon the taxable property of the city of CUNA and providing for an effective date and the filing of a certified copy of this ordinance with the Idaho Secretary of State and the Ada County Clerk and the Idaho State Tax Commission. Okay, now you can go ahead.
Okay, then I would move we approve ordinance 2022-24.
Second.
Motion is made to approve ordinance 2022-24. Is there any other discussion?
Do we have a motion to waive the three readings? And also, do you want a public summary or you want to publish the whole thing? And can we do a summary publication as well?
Yes.
So just to waive the three readings then?
I would also move we waive the three readings of Ordinance 2022-24 and do a summary publication. Right? Okay.
Okay, motion is made and seconded to waive the three readings of Ordinance 2022-24. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And then there was a motion on the floor to approve Ordinance 2022-24. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That takes us to 22-01-LLA, 455 North Martesan and 432 North Locust. Jessica Reed, Planner 2.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. For the record, Planner 2, Jessica Reed, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. Applicants Carrie and Renee Sager request a lot line adjustment between their two properties in order to provide their primary residence at 455 North Martesan with additional space for their RV and future garden fruit trees. A historic ACHD right-of-way previously separated the parcels owned by the Sagers, 455 North Martesan and 432 North Locust. The Sagers pursued the required vacation process with ACHD and are now the owners of the approximately 800-square-foot area. The applicants propose to adjust the western property line of 455 North Martesan to incorporate the recently acquired right-of-way and into 432 North Locust by approximately 31.5 feet. As both parcels are zoned R6 medium-density residential, the minimum lot size requirement per CUNA City Code 533 is 4,500 square feet. If approved, the resulting lot size for 455 North Martesan will be 13,925 square feet, while 432 North Locust will be 10,050. Upon review, staff has determined this request to be in compliance with CUNA City Code Title V, Comprehensive Plan, and Idaho Code. Staff would recommend that council approve case number 22-01-LLA, with the applicants being subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section 7 of your staff report. And with that, I will answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Questions for Jessica?
Just want to maybe clarify, maybe this is more for the applicant, but they're talking on page 9 about wanting to park RV. Is that a business RV or personal?
That'd be their personal RV.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Now it looked pretty good and straightforward, and I'll tell you they've done a great job of fixing up that other property. That was a terrible mess before they became in possession of it. So we appreciate your cleaning and beautifying the city of CUNA. Yeah, library probably appreciates it a lot.
and actually wanting to make it an RV spot instead of just parking it somewhere. And,
yeah. Okay.
Okay. I would move we approve 22-01 LLA. Yeah.
Second?
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve 2022. I keep wanting to say that, Mike. 22-01-LLA. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? That motion carries. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Then financial results, quarterly report, Jared Impey.
Mayor and Council, I thank you for this time to just kind of go over some quarterly results for our quarter ending. So this would be our third quarter. This is a required kind of discussion that we're supposed to give every quarter to kind of go over our cash position and also our budget position. So I know the pages kind of got out of order in the packet, but the first one to review is the combined cash statement. So as you can see, as of June 30th, we had on hand $57 million in our various funds. As you can see, each fund is looking healthy for the time being. And it seems that we're managing things okay. The one item that I would point out is the certificates of deposit that we have on hand with ICCU. Currently, those are getting about a 0.925% interest rate. That's a little bit low, considering at the time that we got that, it was actually good. So we're looking at redoing those in talks with different financial institutions. We're looking at potentially getting a higher interest rate on some of those and then moving some of the amount that we have in cash LGIP account, which is basically a savings account that the state allows us to use, that allows all cities to use. We're currently getting about 1.3% in that one, which is a big increase because for most of the year we were getting about 0.25 or 0.3%, so not very high, but we're looking at moving some money from that to some higher yield instruments for to see if we can improve our interest returns to about where we were a few years ago when we were getting about 2% or maybe even 2.5. So that's one thing that we're looking into. As you can see also, I did kind of a summary Excel sheet by fund just showing what the revenue and expenses are. And as you can see, each fund, I learned a long time ago and just in a prior job that it's not too hard to be successful in business. You just make the top line bigger than the bottom line, meaning the revenue higher than the expenses. So that's what we're trying to do here in staying fiscally responsible. So as you can see, we're trying really hard to make sure that we're meeting our obligations. I will say that the police impact fund, the reason for that one being negative is just that we were using a prior year carryover to fund some of the expenses for the police station that we're trying to get up and going. Some kind of trends that we're seeing with the budget is it seems like for the most part revenue is stable. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that inflation has increased certain items. So some of those is the state sales tax amount. So on a quarterly basis, we get a distribution from the state as sort of a sharing percentage for sales tax. I think that the reason that that has stayed increasing or stable is due to the excessive amount of inflation that we're seeing throughout the system. So even though people may be spending, in other words, purchasing less gallons of milk, that gallon of milk that used to cost $2 now costs $3, and so you're paying more sales tax on that. So I think that's the reason for that. However, on the flip side, we're also seeing that our development income or our building permit income has decreased. It's about 19% below where we were last year. So kind of all of the economic forces that we've been seeing in the last couple of years really have kind of taken its toll. And my guess is it probably will continue to do so as the Fed increases rates and as affordability is still an issue in the market. Also, as I said, we're seeing certain categories of items. Sometimes they may not always be uniform, but we are seeing certain categories definitely costing significant amount more. So for instance, like chemicals to treat our wastewater, what used to cost one amount, it's now double what it was last year. So it's making a few items quite a bit more expensive. And so we're going to make sure that we're controlling what we can control and making sure that we can control costs as possible, and making sure that we're appropriately making sure that our revenue is staying high enough to meet our obligations. I think that that's pretty much all from this report. If you had any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions for Jared?
Yes, I got a more of an educational question for myself. You were talking about milk and sales tax. Does that apply the same for gas stations because of the fuel costs that's gone up? Or is that just under their property tax?
So I'm not quite sure what the sales tax relationship is on fuel. However, I do believe that sales tax is included in gasoline, and so that would affect things as well. That whenever you see inflation in the system, that obviously gets passed along as sales tax, a higher amount of sales tax paid, even though the percentage stays the same.
Thank you.
Okay, further questions? All right.
Did you see anything in that kind of has you worried that we should keep an eye on? Anything that you see?
Currently, I don't necessarily see anything that's like, to use a Star Trek analogy, red alert. But obviously, I think in the greater economy, I think that there are signs, you know, of slowdown. Obviously, within the last two quarters, we saw an official recession, even though it's being described as not a recession. I think that some of the forces that cause what we would generally see as a typical recession sometimes take time to work itself throughout the system. Sometimes it might take 6 months, sometimes it might take 9 months. But with the Fed increasing interest rates anywhere between a half to 0.75 at each meeting, it takes time for some of those effects to really ripple throughout the economy. And it's kind of odd, the different fiscal tools that we're seeing also. So as we see the Fed raising rates, we also see the federal government increasing their spending. And so it's kind of counterintuitive forces at play. So it's really hard to say what effect it will have. However, I will say that we'll probably know a little bit better this fall, especially going into the holiday season, exactly how all these forces will play out if there is a significant slowdown like what we saw in 2008 or 9, or in, I want to say, 1991, 1992, or something like what we saw in the dot-com era. So it's really hard to say, but generally a significant recession doesn't happen until something breaks in the system. And currently, we haven't seen anything break yet. So.
Okay. Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Jared, thank you very much. Mayor Council announcements. Anybody have anything they want to mention.
I know I talked to you before the meeting, but I want to thank Bobby for that mud plunge at those kids at CUNA days. I never heard so many kids laughing in my life. Good idea.
I actually had a question, and I kind of talked about the way state code reads with Title 67 and 65, where it talks about neighborhood mitigation fees for developments. It's really ambiguous, so I was maybe I should wait till next meeting when our original council's here, but I think it's something that we should discuss with certain school districts, asking other cities the same thing that we're dealing with, right? They're busting at the seams, and already property taxes that are hammering people, so adding more levies to it. Maybe it's just something we could discuss, see if that's a route that we want to look at. I've talked to several people, and they weigh it both ways. Yeah, the code says we can, yeah, it says we can't. So I don't know where that puts us. I'd like to have a conversation about it.
Sure.
To help the school district with something moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. That's something I've been looking into and haven't been able to get a really good answer on. So I'm not sure, short of having someone bring a lawsuit, how you get an answer. You can't just ask Attorney General for a determination, can you?
Mark's talking to me, so I'll circle back.
Because I think it's happening all over the state. And it's just about someone really just taking the time to discuss it and what we're willing to do to, right?
Well, if that's it, if we can get an opinion on it, then we can, it would probably be helpful for a lot of places, not just CUNA. So.
That's all I have.
Good. No?
I got nothing.
Okay. All right. Seemed like there was something. Yeah, CUNA Days was a great success.
That was good.
I guess ain't no hits, runs, and errors, but apparently you hit my golf course.
I wish I would have been there for that.
Yeah, that would have been good to see.
Yeah.
Anybody have their camera on? Always is.
Well, I appreciate what you guys did. We had one lady that showed up at the booth who had lost her kid and just trying to run around and find a three-year-old and getting everybody coordinated to look for the same kid. And he was on the playground, I guess, in one of the things. So I'm running around looking crazy, but we found him.
You're running around looking for a child you had no idea what he looked like.
She's like, blue shirt, blonde hair, and he's nonverbal. At that time, I didn't even know what that meant. Yeah, it's good. Thank you guys for what you do. At night?
Well, I think the way we see that the police did a good job is they may have been busy, but we didn't happen to notice it. So.
Right. Amen.
That's kind of how we...
Well, thank you.
Oh, good. Yeah, good job to your team, and thank them for us. All right. That's all we have for tonight. So meeting is adjourned. Thank you.